the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, today we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent. And the preface for the Eucharistic prayer calls for, and the Mass calls for the first preface of Advent, which has a subtitle, The Two Comings of Christ. And as I thought about that, I did a little research because I really wanted to focus on that. I had looked erroneously at the gospel for the year A, which is very similar to the one we just heard. We're now in year B of the three-year liturgical cycle. And in the rendition of John the Baptist's ministry that St. Matthew gives in his gospel, after he makes his comment about there's one coming greater than I, he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And I thought that that was really appropriate, the preface being the two comings of our Lord, because certainly St. John the Baptist is referring not just, well, at this point when he's out there ministering at the River Jordan, Jesus is already born and grown up, but the church celebrates in this time of Advent, we're preparing for the coming of Christ, the memorial of his birth on earth, his coming in the flesh. But as St. John the Baptist indicates, there's another coming, a grander coming, the completion of his coming at the end of time, for which all of us have to prepare continuously. Our life is a preparation for that second coming, which may come in our lifetime and may not, as it has not for so many Christians since the time of Christ and up till now. The second coming hasn't occurred, but each of us will face judgment even if we die before Jesus comes in glory a second time. But I think that being prepared for Jesus's second coming is an aspect of our Christian life that tends to be overlooked rather easily. And so Advent is a time that helps us regain that focus of our need to be prepared at all times for the coming of Christ in his glory and majesty. So to prepare myself, I thought I would take a look at a work by a Benedictine abbot on the liturgical year, Abbot Geringer, and his 15-volume study of the liturgical year was written about 150 years ago. I didn't do the math, but it was first published, if I'm not mistaken, in 1867. And the copy that I have is an English translation, appears to be maybe the first translation into English that was published in 1948. And in the beginning of his comments on Advent, at first he talks about the practices of Advent that predate the liturgical aspect of Advent. As a matter of fact, from the ancient origins of the church, there are traces of an Advent observance. It's varied and not consistent. The church wasn't as centralized then as it is today, but there is a general evidence of an observance, and it was a time of penance, and in many places it was 40 days of preparation, including fasting, 40 days fast, and abstinence. And he observes in his comments that these rigorous preparations for Christmas over time were relaxed, and the period was, in the Latin Church, shortened from 40 days to 4 weeks. And the relaxing began with the laity and then extended to the clergy. And in many places, fasting was abandoned or conserved only by the monastics, the monks in monasteries and the nuns in their monasteries. And this relaxation occurs over centuries of time. He observes also that at the time of the publication of the book, in the Eastern Church, they were still observing the 40 days fast. It was a little less rigorous than the fast, the 40-day Lent before Easter, but it was still intact as of the publication of the book. And then he makes a comment which I think is relevant to us that I'd like to just cite. If the exterior practices of penance, which formerly sanctified the season of Advent, have been in the Western Church so gradually relaxed as to have become now quite obsolete, except in monasteries, the general character of the liturgy of this holy time has not changed. And it is by their zeal in following its spirit that the faithful will prove their earnestness in preparing for Christmas. He then goes on to talk about the liturgical observance, which seems to have its origin with St. Gregory the Great. I think the 8th century, 7th or 8th century. I'm a little bit shaky on the history of that. But it's quite ancient as well, the liturgical observance in the four Sundays. Originally it was five, in some places it was six, in the Ambrosian liturgy, which is still followed in Milano in Italy, they still have apparently six Sundays of preparation leading up to Christmas. So that's kind of the historical background of the practices of penance associated with our preparation for the coming of Christ at Christmas. But as I said, Christ's coming is not just the memory of his birth in Bethlehem. The spirit of Advent actually has a threefold mystery of his coming. And once again, I'd like to cite Dom Geringer. It's very interesting, and I don't think I could synthesize it better than what he's already done here. He says, "We find the mystery of the coming or advent of Jesus is at once simple and threefold." So he's talking about a threefold coming now, not just the two comings. "It is simple, for it is the one same Son of God that is coming. It is threefold, because he comes at three different times and in three different ways." Then he cites Saint Bernard. "In the first coming, he comes in the flesh and in weakness. In the second, he comes in spirit and in power. In the third, he comes in glory and in majesty. And the second coming is the means whereby we pass from the first to the third. This then is the mystery of Advent. Let us now listen to the explanation of this threefold visit of Christ given by Peter of Blois in his third sermon, De Adventu. There are three comings of our Lord, the first in the flesh, the second in the soul, the third at the judgment. The first was at midnight, according to those words of the gospel. At midnight, there was a cry made, "Lo, the bridegroom cometh." But this first coming is long since past, for Christ has been seen on the earth and has conversed among men. We are now in the second coming, provided only we are such as that he may thus come to us. For he has said that if we love him, he will come unto us and will take up his abode with us, so that this second coming is full of uncertainty to us. For who, save the Spirit of God, knows them that are of God? They that are raised out of themselves by the desire of heavenly things know indeed when he comes. But whence he cometh, or whither he goeth, they know not. As for the third coming, it is most certain that it will be, most uncertain when it will be. For nothing is more sure than death, and nothing less sure than the hour of death. When they shall say, "Peace and security," says the apostle, then shall sudden destruction come upon them, as the pains upon her that is with child, and they shall not escape. So that the first coming was humble and hidden, the second is mysterious and full of love, the third will be majestic and terrible. Keeping this in mind, Advent becomes a much richer time of spiritual reflection. It's not just limited to a memory, a celebration of a fond and beautiful memory of the birth of a child and the coming of hope into the world. But it's a time of our preparing for Christ to come in us into the mystical body in each of its members. As I said, the gospel today focuses on the announcement, the proclamation by Saint John the Baptist that he is coming, the long-awaited Messiah is coming. And his terms, particularly in the reading from year A, are one of strong admonition. He speaks to the Pharisees and Sadducees, "You brood of vipers, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Brothers and sisters, these are the words with which Christ's coming are announced by his precursor, and certainly should be for souls that are in a state of spiritual torpor, asleep, not alert to the spiritual reality of our existence and of our never-too-distant moment of judgment that we all have to face. These words should be a wake-up call, and recognizing that Advent is a preparation also for the final coming of our Lord in his majesty and glory, when he will judge the living and the dead. It changes somewhat the meaning and the magnitude of our preparation. And so I'd like to challenge each of us to think, to question whether our preparation is truly adequate to the mystery of Advent, of our Lord's coming into the world, which is still happening in individual souls, and which will have its conclusion at the end of time. Are our preparations for the celebration of Christmas and the celebration of his birth in the flesh adequate to this grand mystery of Christ's coming into the world? Let us observe also the history in the church, as Abbot Geringer does in his preface to Advent. Over time, the love of many has grown cold due to the spread of evil in the world, and preparation for Advent can be quite minimal. And yet, this is not a just response to the Lord who came to give us all, and who is the Son of Justice. An adequate response to welcome the Son of Justice is with an effort, the greatest that we can give. We all have our limitations, and God does not expect more than is possible. But if we can do more, then we ought to do more. And if we don't feel that compunction, let us pray to the Mother of our Lord, who is also known by the title of the Mirror of Justice, that we may reflect some of Christ's justice as his children, as his redeemed, as his subjects, giving him an adequate welcome after an adequate preparation. Praise be Jesus and Mary.